This morning's public reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. So we're beginning to make a little bit of headway in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, allow me to read in our hearing verses 1 to 9. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 10. Luke 13, 1 to 10. This is the Word of God. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that those Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumberest it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. When you read the Gospel of John, chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man that was there within the temple complex. And it caused a great stir because it was the Sabbath day. And you know what the Pharisees felt about doing things like that. It was almost as if Jesus went out of his way to really rattle the cage of the religious leaders, because many of his miracles he did on the Sabbath to make a point. Not getting rid of the Sabbath, but to correct the misuses of the Sabbath that the religious leaders were doing in what they were teaching. Well, as you know, the man that was born blind in that culture and at that time, and even in some cultures in the East, if you're born with a handicap or a lot of bad stuff comes crashing on your head, ancient cultures viewed that as a sign from the gods that they were angry with you. You must have done something wrong to engender the anger and the punishment of the gods. Well, the Jews had the same reasoning, okay? When the Pharisees begin to encounter the man that was healed in John 9, they did throw at him, ye were born in sin. They threw that at him, pointing to his former blindness, apparently. Him or his parents or somebody in his family tree had done something to anger the true and living God, and therefore in their mind God had this poor soul born blind as a punishment. Well, with that thinking, these people come to Jesus and they told him about a bunch of individuals there, and they're in Galilee, maybe some type of uproar, some type of protest, where Pilate ordered Roman soldiers to basically massacre these Galileans. And they brought this situation to Jesus, okay? Jesus answered and said, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? You know, people have a hard time. Why is there so much evil in the world? Why is there so much pain? If God is so loving and so kind, if he's so benevolent, and if God is all-powerful the way you claim, why doesn't he put a period to all of the suffering and the murder and the wars and the bloodshed? Oh, they fail to realize that we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in an imperfect world. It was once perfect in Genesis 1-2, and up until a certain point in chapter 3, till our first father decided to rebel, and the day he ate, he died. He died first spiritually, and he brought a curse upon the ground. Okay, we're all born with that original stench of our father Adam. We come into this world with a fallen nature. And so Jesus here is asking a question. Do you think that these Galileans were really the worst sinners in all of Galilee because this calamity fell upon them? No. But then notice how Jesus turns the table. I tell you nay, verse 3, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So Jesus wanted to correct their faulty thinking. Just because these Galileans died at the hand of Pilate's soldiers doesn't mean that they had done something so terrible that the heavens unleashed punishment. No, no. Jesus turns the table right back on these people and says, oh, by the way, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And then Jesus interjects another example of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? There must have been here a toppling down of this tower. Okay, maybe there was an earthquake. Who knows? But whatever, the bricks or the stones that composed this tower fell upon 18 people and they died. Well, what do you think people were thinking back then? Well, God got you. You must have done something wrong to anger God, and so God got you. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so, this may sound too quick of an answer, but before people begin to argue and throw back at our face, if your God is so powerful, so loving, and so benevolent, why doesn't he do something with evil? Our response is, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Then verses 6 to verses 10 is quite interesting. The fig tree here is Israel. The fig tree is used more often as a symbol of the nation of Israel versus a vine, fig tree. Well, the vineyard is the nation of Israel. And Jesus plants this fig tree, which is the nation. And he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. So notice, you got Israel, the nation. And this man comes seeking fruit on this fig tree that he's planted in his vineyard. And he finds none. Now, another cross-reference to this parable, you would need to read Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree. Fig tree. Isn't it amazing that Jesus' ministry was about 3.5 years? So apparently, Jesus' third year of ministry has now been completed. What does John 1, verse 11 say? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What is the standard formula? To the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. So Jesus, there was an obligation for Jesus to come to the Jew first and foremost, for they were God's ancient covenant people. They were the ones, excuse me, to whom the oracles of God were given. They had the prophets of old. They had the law of Moses. They were a chosen, privileged people. So in John 1:11, we're told he came unto his own, but his own didn't receive him. He says, now, behold, these 3 years. So now Jesus' ministry is coming to an end, and he's about to face the cross. I came seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumberest it the ground? Why is it wasting ground? Just simply cut it. Get rid of it. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let alone this year also. So that would be beginning his fourth year, but Jesus' ministry was cut short, was it not? Yes, it was. Till I dig about it and dung it. So give me some more time to fertilize it, pull out the weeds, do all that I can to make this fig tree bear fruit. And if it bear fruit, fine. If not, then after that, thou shalt what? Cut it down. And he doesn't say, then we're going to transplant it later on down the road. This corresponds, I believe, to Matthew's gospel, the parable of the householders of 21, Matthew 21. And you need to read the ending of Matthew 23, where Jesus walks out of the temple and tells the entire religious establishment, your house is left to you desolate. And in Matthew chapter 21, he tells them at the end of that parable, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to another nation who will bear fruit. Then also when you read John the Baptist, in his message, he tells the people the axe is already laid to the root. The question is, how was Israel going to respond to the Messiah? They committed high treason. They told Pilate, let his blood be upon us and our children. And by the way, Pilate, we have no king but Caesar. That was the nail, the last nail to the nation's coffin. And in AD 70, the Romans destroyed it all. May God choose to bless his word.